And it's the influence which that brings into our lives which testifies of the God who died to bear our sin. Jesus' death and resurrection ensured justification and forgiveness. But it also ensured sanctification and cleansing. And the recreation of you and I into God's image that He might fulfill His original intention through us. I'm glad that I serve a risen Savior. My Savior is not in the grave. My Savior is risen. My Savior, because He is risen, has given me the power through the Holy Spirit to partake of His nature and be renewed in His image. It's given me the ability through the Holy Spirit working in and through me to testify of that same powerful God. And it is that powerful God which the world, whether they know it or not, is looking for today. So this morning we would like to meditate for a few moments, not on the resurrection itself, but on the results of the resurrection as it pertains to you and to me. Bow our heads. Father in heaven, we ask that you'd be with us in a special way for these few moments as we consider the results of your resurrection in our lives. Amen. John chapter 16. John 16, beginning at verse 5. Jesus is speaking to His disciples. And this is what He says. But now I go away to Him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient, or it is to your advantage, that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. It was expedient. It was to the advantage of the disciples and to our advantage who live today as Christ, as His disciples. It was to both their advantage and our advantage that Christ do what? Go away, and that He go away quickly in order that the Helper would come. And when He come, referring to the Holy Spirit, the Bible continues in verse 8. It says, He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Now, the Holy Spirit is given for a purpose. To convict the world of what? Of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. There is a purpose or a reason for the giving or sending of the Holy Spirit. And in fact, it was very important, or all important, that the Holy Spirit actually come, because the Holy Spirit can be everywhere at what? At the same time. Whereas Christ was limited in that He was within a human body. So now God, through the giving of the Holy Spirit, can dwell everywhere at the same time, convicting every human being who lives on the face of the earth at the same time of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Now that is one powerful God that can do that. Verse 13, the Bible continues. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, if there was ever a time when the church and the Christian world needed the Holy Spirit, it is today. And the Bible makes it very clear that the Holy Spirit will guide you not into part of the truth, not into half of the truth, not into three quarters of the truth, but the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own authority. Whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, referring to Christ, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. The coming of the Holy Spirit is a result of the resurrection of Christ, is it not? Where would we be today if Jesus had not risen from the grave? Would the Helper have come? Would there be any divine influence to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment? Would there be any divine influence to guide people into all truth? Would there be any divine influence to tell you things to come? And would there be any divine influence to glorify Jesus Christ? The coming of the Spirit and the work of the Spirit who does all of those things was a result of the resurrection of Jesus. I'm glad today that I serve a risen Savior. Because I serve a risen Savior, the Holy Spirit can work in my life. Because the Holy Spirit can work in my life, He can convict me of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. He can guide me into all truth. He can tell me things to come. He can glorify Jesus Christ in my life. So I'm glad I serve a risen Savior. And I'm glad of the results of the resurrection by which the Holy Spirit comes and works in me and in you. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. This is what we call the Great Commission. We've read it, we've heard it hundreds of times. Today we'd like to look at it again for a moment. Jesus came, he spoke to them after his resurrection. This is what he said. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, knowing what? Knowing that you do not go on your own what? Your own authority. What did it just say? All authority has been given to me where? In heaven and on earth. So when Christ says go, he's not asking you to go on your own and in your own authority. He's asking you to go knowing that he goes with you and that you bear his credentials and his authority in you. The world needs to see the Christian community bearing God's authority. And when we bear God's authority, we won't be concerned about any other authority. We don't need to worry about what will take place in our world. We need to worry about having God's authority and bearing His credentials into our world. When we bear God's authority, it won't matter what comes at us, because God will give us power to deal with it. All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore, because now you bear God's authority, and make disciples of how many? All nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you for how long? Always, even until what? The end of the world. Is God with you? Isn't that what the Bible says? Because all authority has been given to Him both in heaven and on earth. When you go to witness to what you believe in, you do not go on your own authority. God goes with you, and He gives you His credentials, and you bear His authority. And when you bear His authority, you won't worry about how to say it or what to say. You'll know what to say, and God will impress you how to say it. And you'll just go and you'll do what God has asked you to do. There's too much worrying about what people might think, what people might say, how people will interpret what you're trying to say to them. There's too much worrying about all that stuff. God doesn't worry about that stuff. God just says what? Go! You bear my authority. You bear my credentials. Just go. I will work in and through you. I will teach you what to say. I will show you how to say it. And when it's all said and done, all glory will come back to me, because it wasn't you doing the work. It was me in you bearing my authority and credentials to those whom I'm seeking to save. No, the same God that said go gave another command after His resurrection. It's found in Luke chapter 24. Verse 49. Luke 24, verse 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem. Well, Matthew 28, He said what? Go. Luke 24, He says what? Tarry. Well, what is He saying? On the one hand, He says go. On the other hand, He says tarry. Two opposite commands. We read Luke 24, verse 49, we get an explanation if we read the last part of the verse. But tarried until you are endued with power from on high. Jesus still wanted them to go, but before they went, He commanded them to what? Tarry until they are endued with power from on high. Because Jesus knew that it was no sense to go if God didn't go with you. In fact, it's a waste of time, because you're trying to accomplish the work without God working in and through you to accomplish it on your behalf. When Jesus said, tarry until you are endued with power on high, did he have any time reference in mind? Did he say tarry for 2 weeks? Did he say tarry for a month? Tarry for 2 months? Tarry for a year? Did he have any time reference in mind when he said, tarry until you are endued with power from on high? The point he was trying to make was not how long. It was wait until you have the outpouring of the Spirit. Because it is through the outpouring of the Spirit that God wants to accomplish his work. There is no sense in going unless we go with God's Spirit. In fact, it is a waste of time. And in fact, you will not get any results. Did you know that? Do you expect the church to grow? Well, when I say that, most of us are thinking, well, the last 10 years we added 10 people, maybe a year. But at the same time, 9 of the people did what? 9 other people transferred out or left the church. So we gained 1. And over 10 years we gained 10. Well, I'm not interested in looking into the past. I'm interested in going to the Word of God, accepting the Word of God, living by the Word of God, and expecting results that come through the Word of God. God's intention is for the church to grow, but the church will only grow when the people within the church do it God's way. So let's put behind us the years of trying to attempt it on our own. And let's make a pact with God of attempting it God's way. And do you know what will happen in God's church? God's church will be filled to capacity. In fact, you'll have to build another church. Because it won't be able to hold the number of people. After the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the church grew magnificently, very quickly. Large numbers. Why? Because the disciples heeded the command to what? To tarry until what? They were endued. When they were endued, what happened to the church? It took off and it grew. And the gospel went very quickly to the then known world. And the same thing will happen in our day when we do what the disciples did. We need to tarry before we what? Before we go. And we need to plead and pray for God's Spirit to work in our lives, to bring our lives into harmony with the will of God, so that when we go, the Holy Spirit and God goes with us. It seems with increasing seriousness the church is heeding the divine injunction to go. But it has not yet sensed the solemn necessity of the second mandate, which is to tarry. We seem to be more willing to attempt the first than obey the second. God is calling us today to obey the second, which is to tarry, so that when we attempt the first, which is to go, God will go with us. And that the results which God intends, which is His church to grow and people to come to the knowledge of the truth, that will take place because we've done it not our way, but God's way. You know that the Lord is not in a hurry? God is in no hurry to accomplish His work. Moses spent 40 years in Egypt. And what did God do? God plucked him out of Egypt and set him in the desert for how long? 40 years before he sent him back into Egypt to bring his people out. A third of Moses' life was spent tending sheep in the desert. Why? Because God's not in a hurry. God would rather have Moses wait until he understands the principles of salvation in the gospel. He would rather have Moses wait until he's endued with the power from on high for 40 years than to send him in too early and not accomplish what God intended him to accomplish. So he plucked him out and he set him in the wilderness for 40 years. No, the Lord's not in a hurry. After Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, Paul went to Arabia and he spent 3 years meditating and studying the Word of God before Paul ever preached the gospel. After 3 years, he came back to Jerusalem. He met with Peter, James. Then he went back to Arabia for 14 years before he came back to Jerusalem. Why? Because God's not in a hurry. Jesus Christ spent 30 years doing what? 30 years learning from his parents and from the situations in which he was brought into before he was ever what? Called to take the plan of salvation to the Jewish nation. 30 years! He waited. And he spent how much time before his crucifixion teaching the gospel? 3.5 years. Why? Because God is not in a hurry. God wants a people who have meditated and learned and studied about him and spent time with him and prayed and got to know him so well that when they go, they know what they are going to say and they know how they're going to say it. God's not in a hurry. We're in a hurry. And what we need to do is reverse our thinking. We need not to be in a hurry to preach. We need to be in a hurry to tarry. And when we're in a hurry to tarry, then God will set the time by which we are to go and preach. And that time will be very, very what? Short. Because we will be prepared vehicles to do the work which God has called us to do. As pastor of the church, you know that we've done a stress seminar, Breathe Free, we're doing a cooking school, we had our school opening, we're doing a lot of things. And that's great. We need to do a lot of things. We need to do a lot more than we're already doing. But we have to remember that to do all those things without tarrying first and asking for God's blessing and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is vanity. We need to tarry, and then we need to go. One day, Jesus came to the house, Martha and Mary. Luke chapter 10. You will find the story. Luke 10, beginning in verse 38. And the Bible says this, it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, You're worried, you're troubled about so many things. There's just so much you have to do. But one thing is needed. Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. What was Jesus saying? He's saying that there are many things that need to be done. But what is most important is that we spend our time with Him. That we are influenced by His Holy Spirit. That our lives are brought into harmony with His will. So that when we go, He goes with us. When we have to serve, He's serving with us. When there's a lot of things on the agenda, He's there in us to deal with all the things on the agenda. We need to go, but before we go, we need to what? We need to tarry. After the resurrection, Jesus came to his disciples while they were at the sea. Peter and Thomas, Nathanael, James and John, and two other of the disciples were there at the sea. Simon Peter spoke up and he told the disciples that were there that he was going fishing. And all the disciples who were there said what? We're going to go fishing too. They went out, they got into the boat, and they were fishing that whole night. And do you know how much they caught? They didn't catch a thing. The morning came, and Jesus stood on the shore. The Bible says that the disciples didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They responded and they said to Jesus, "No." He said to them, "Cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." And when he made that statement, what do you think they're thinking? They've been fishing how long? All night. How much have they caught? Nothing. And Jesus says, "Cast your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." He didn't say how much, he just said some. So think about what they were thinking. They're probably thinking that they're going to catch what? A few fish. You know, a couple here and there. Or they could even be thinking, "Look, we've been doing this all night. What's the point? There's nothing there." But as the disciples listen to the command of Jesus, who they do not know that it is Jesus, and they're thinking through these processes, they decide that they'll cast the net down. They cast the net, and the Bible says they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. And you know what? Then they knew that who was it on the shore? Then they knew it was Jesus. You and I can work for God for 1,000 years and accomplish nothing. But when we heed the voice of Jesus, we can labor for 5 minutes and accomplish more than we could laboring on our own for 1,000 years. I am not interested in laboring all night and catching nothing. What about you? I'm not interested in that. My Christian experience doesn't say that that should take place. My Christian experience tells me that when I accept Jesus Christ as my crucified Lord, as my risen Lord, when I partake of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit brings into me the blessings which God has intended for me to have, and when He works in and through me to accomplish what God intends to be accomplished, my Christian experience tells me that through all of that, God can get His work done, and He can get it done quickly. What do you say? God has no intention for you and I to be partaking in a work by which there's no results. And if we're thinking that, we better change our thinking. We are in a work which God has called us into, and we should expect results, should we not? And if we don't, we better go back to our Bibles and rethink why we believe what we do. My God is a risen Savior. My God is a powerful Savior. My God is a Savior who will accomplish what He intends to accomplish in this world when you and I tarry first and go second. Let us commit ourselves today to doing God's work, not our way, but His way. Let us tarry. Let us get to know our loving God. Let us meditate upon His wonderful promises. Let us partake of His nature. Let us be filled with His Spirit. And then let us go and watch the wonderful results which God will work out on His own behalf.